morning, everyone. It's great to have you with us today. I hope you will join me in your copy of God's Word or on your device in 2 Timothy chapter 2. That's our text for today. We're going to read in just a few moments. What a great day it's been. We've had baptisms this morning. We've had so many baptisms over the past several weeks, and that's so exciting to people, see people take those next steps and express their faith in such a public manner. So really excited about that. We got an Alaska team that just returned from a mission trip, and they did a great work up there. Look forward to hearing all the great reports of the work they did. We are off to a great start with our English as a Second Language ministry. We've had 2 weeks already, and it's been really great to see all the people who've come out for that, and we look forward to that growing, for lives being changed through that ministry. And if you want to help out and be a part of it, please let us know. We are signing people up even now for our foster care work with local foster kids, and I hope you and your class will get involved in that. That's a great project for your class to get involved in, and that makes a huge difference, obviously. And then, as it was mentioned already, next Sunday we're going to be receiving gifts for the Annie Armstrong Easter offering to help support missionaries throughout North America. Such a very, very important offering. And I too want to recognize Ryan, wherever he is back there. Ryan, it's so good to see you. We pray for you and Susan and your work in Central Asia. We love you guys. We're so honored to have you with us today. God bless you and that very important work. Well, with all that encouraging stuff said, let me divide the audience. Let's talk the best basketball player in history. There are two candidates, obviously. How many of you would say it is King James? It is LeBron James, who's the best basketball player ever. Please raise your hand so we know who the centers are. Thank you. All those who are here today that would say Michael Jordan is the best basketball player ever, obviously that group wins it, and Michael Jordan is the best ever. Well, there is an interesting story about Michael Jordan. Many of you have heard before, perhaps, but his sophomore year, he tried out for the varsity basketball team, went out there, gave it his best, and when they announced the roster for that year, Michael Jordan was actually cut his sophomore year from the varsity basketball team. Well, he determined that he was going to make it the next year. He went out, he worked hard, he practiced, it didn't hurt that he grew 4 more inches, but he went out the next year, he made the team, scored 25 points on average, and was a great, incredible basketball player in high school, through college, and obviously now probably the best basketball player ever, certainly from my opinion, but in grace to all of you who might disagree. But he said this about being cut his sophomore year. He said, "I knew I never wanted to feel that bad again. I never wanted to have that taste in my mouth, that hole in my stomach." So he set a goal, went out there, worked hard, and achieved so much. Well, I've never achieved much on the basketball court. I do like to play, but I've never excelled that great like Michael Jordan. But I have been in that experience of having that bad taste in my mouth, that hole in my stomach when I failed at something I was trying to do. And many of you, if not all of you, can relate to this in the spiritual realm. How bad it feels when we fail our Lord, when we back up in our faith, when we're not living for the Lord as we should. We've been talking over these past few weeks about our need to persevere, our need to press on in the faith and not shrink back, not fall away, not let things disrupt our relationship with God. And we've talked about that in a couple of different ways these past few weeks. First of all, we have to be careful because in life there are those who fall away. And we'll see Christian people around us or people who claim to be Christians, and we see them in church day after day, week after week, year after year, and then all of a sudden they just drift away from God. It can be very discouraging, and it can affect our own faith. And we have to be very careful to keep walking with Jesus even as other people may fall away. Then last week we talked about how we have to be really careful when hardship comes along. This is one of the areas of life where most people, if they're going to wash out in the faith, is because hard times come, difficulties come in life, and it gets so stressful, so hard, maybe you develop such disappointment in God that you just fall away from the faith. But God is calling us to press on even when times get tough, even when life is difficult. And life was really difficult for the Apostle Paul, who's the one who wrote 2 Timothy. Paul is in a dungeon. He's facing near his execution is near. He knows things are coming to an end. So he writes to his young protege, this young man he considered a son in the faith, certainly. And he wrote to Timothy to encourage him not to be like so many people who have fallen away. He encourages him to press on, to keep going, to live for Jesus until he draws his final breath. And as we read in a moment Paul's words to Timothy, I believe we have some questions we need to ask, some things we need to wrestle through in our lives about our own perseverance and pressing on to the very end of our days, till we draw our last breath, that we could cross that finish line of life knowing that we have lived for Jesus to the very, very end. Here's a question for you today. Will my faith remain strong until the end? Think about it. Will you be living for Jesus? Will you show up on a time-changed Sunday and sit in church 5 and 10 years and longer from now? Will you keep pressing on in your faith? Will you cross the finish line of your life as a victor, as someone who lived for Jesus until the very end? Paul wants to help us with that. God wants to help us with that today. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. Here's what Paul writes to Timothy, and God speaks to us. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead and descended from David, according to my gospel, for which I suffered to the point of being bound like a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. This is why I endure all things for the elect, so that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This saying is trustworthy. For if we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. As we read God's word, and as we unpack what Paul is saying today, I want you to know you can live for Jesus. You can keep pressing on. Even when others are falling away, even when hard times come, you can keep living for the Lord. The victory is already won. And today I want you to be encouraged in that way, that there is victory coming in your life, certainty that you can persevere to the very end. And Paul gives four reasons why, four areas of victory that belong to the believer to keep you pressing on in your faith. Number one, if you're writing these down, we can keep pressing on in our faith because of our Savior. We can press on because of our Savior. If we love the Savior, we can keep pressing on in our faith. I mean, how in the world can we turn away from the one who took away our sins? Our love for Jesus keeps us close to him through the difficulties of life, through the hardships of life, when others are falling away. Because we love Jesus, we keep going forward in our faith. Because when you love someone, you live for them, right? Think about it in the context of your family. Recently, Cindy and I went down to Dillard's in Tallahassee, and we were shopping, and she wasn't feeling well, so she was trying on a few things in the dressing room, and I was waiting on her, and then not feeling well, she didn't feel like going out and getting more things to try on, so I went out and started picking out her clothes, but she didn't want to hold her pocketbook. So I held her pocketbook. Now I want you to get that in your mind's eye. Your pastor in Dillard's with a big mom purse on, walking around, holding up ladies' clothes. Now that looks nice. People were looking at me like I was crazy. But you do things for people you love, right? You do things to bless them. And that's what love's all about. Our love for Jesus Christ, it keeps us close to him. It keeps us walking with him. Think about Peter. In his moment of cowardice, when multiple times he denied Jesus Christ, what did Jesus come back and later say to him? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Do you love me, Peter? Because love for Jesus keeps us close to the Lord. Jesus said to the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2, verses 4 and 5, "But I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember then how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first." I wonder today, how many of us are in this room and we think about the landscape of our faith, the past when we've lived for Jesus, and we think about the times when we were closest to the Lord. How many of us today are thinking about a time which was far into the past, a time that is far removed from today, when we were on fire for Jesus, when we were pressing on, we were living as we should, living victoriously in Jesus Christ? For many of us, we need to remember those days when we love the Lord so much more. Remember how far we have fallen. Jesus says, "Repent, do the works you did at first, otherwise I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." Today, don't let your love for Christ diminish. if you want to persevere, if you want to keep living for Jesus and know that in 5 and 10 and 20 plus years from now that you're still close to God, you're still living for the Lord, if you're the person who wants to cross that finish line of life living for the Lord Jesus Christ, then remember Jesus, the love you need to have for Him. Paul says it this way again in verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descended from David according to my gospel. Paul's telling us we're not gathered here on a Sunday morning to remember a dead Jesus. If that were the case, we just need to gather maybe once a year, have a memorial service to someone who's to be admired in history. But no, we gather Sunday after Sunday. We remain faithful to the Lord. We persevere because of the risen Lord. He is risen from the dead. And it doesn't matter what comes at us in life when we remember we serve a risen Savior. Listen, in your life right now, things may be hard, times may be tough, but Christ is still Lord and nothing will defeat Him. And because your life is hidden in Him, the victory that He has is your victory. His life is now your life. Paul's been this great example to Timothy, but more so, Christ is our great example of perseverance. Paul points out the divine nature of Christ. He's risen from the dead, but he also points to the humanity of Christ. He says there He is descended from David. As God in the flesh, He suffered extreme agony and death, yet He endured. We must be willing to suffer on His behalf. We must be willing to press on, even when it's not easy, even when we feel like pulling back, even when it seems like it would be so much simpler in life to just walk away from faith. We press on. Christ being fully human, understanding and experiencing pain and rejection just as we do, He strips away all of our excuses. He's been through all of our struggles. He's known all of our pain and more. He knows the difficulty we go through. Christ's perseverance sets the example for us to persevere. What a loving Savior who loves us. We must love Him in return. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and following says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet is without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Today, you can persevere. You can live for Jesus because He died for you. Through His death and resurrection, Jesus conquered sin and death, and His death and resurrection gives you victory. And in your struggle, I challenge you, don't turn from Him, turn to Him. As you press on, you can press on in victory. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ. Love Him. Give your life over to Him for the rest of your days. You have the victory. Your faith cannot be defeated because your Savior is victorious. Number two, we can persevere because of the second thing that cannot be defeated, that is our Bible. Timothy felt defeated. There were those who were falling away throughout Asia. We read about that in the last chapter. We noted how Paul was so timid and weak and unwilling to preach with authority because people in his church were making him feel insecure and incapable. All the faithful people have been rounded up and thrown in prison, most notably his mentor Paul. Timothy needed to see that while Paul was confined, that while he was in that dark dungeon and he was bound, that the Word of God was not under that same experience. The Word of God was free-flowing. Verse 9, Paul says, "For which I suffer to the point of being bound like a criminal, but the Word of God is not bound." There is nothing today that can stop the inerrant, God-breathed Word. Isaiah 55, verse 11. "So my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I send it to do." I hope you understand that today. There is nothing that can stop God's Word. So as you think about trying to persevere, as you think about trying to live out your faith, and it seems like others are falling away and hardships are coming, you can live standing in victory because of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the unbound nature of the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 says, "The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the Word of our God remains forever." I don't know how many of you caught the story in the news. Just about a week ago in West Virginia, there was a church that burned to the ground, and the firefighters noted something remarkable as that entire structure was destroyed. that in that fire, the intensity of all that billowing smoke and all the roaring blazes, that not one Bible was burned. They put a picture online of the Bibles lined up, and I believe we have a picture of that you can see, but all these Bibles that were lined up, and not one of them was scorched. And you can look at that, and the firefighters did. They said, you know, God protected those Bibles. Is that what God does? I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Bibles will burn if you lit a match to one, but it's a reminder in the physical realm of what is true in the spiritual realm, at least. There may or may not be Bibles that are destroyed in fires, but we do know this, that the Word of God cannot be destroyed. In the spiritual realm, God's Word will stand forever and nothing will stop it. God's Word is established and true and everlasting. It sustains us and nourishes us that we might remain spiritually strong until the very end of our lives. As you turn to the Word of God and receive its nourishment, you can be confident that through the victorious Word of God, you can be victorious too, as the Word of God changes your life. Listen to a couple of verses about this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. For the Word of God is living and effective. It's effective in your life. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, this is why we constantly thank God, because when you received the Word of God that you heard from us, you welcomed it not as a human message, but as it truly is the Word of God, which also works effectively in you who believe. You can persevere because you have the Word of God, and it will empower you to live an effective Christian life. No matter the attempts of the world to stop the Word of God, no matter how hostile and unbelieving world comes toward the Word of God, nothing can stop it. Nothing can end it. We can persevere because of the Word of God. But then we can persevere because of a third thing that's not defeated. Number three, our mission. Now, we talked about our mission last week, but Paul can't emphasize it enough. There's work for us to do. So look at verse 10. This is why I endure all things for the elect, so that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul kept enduring the tough stuff of life. He kept persevering through all the hardships because there were more people who needed to hear about Jesus. We have this mission we're called to tell the world about our Savior, Jesus Christ, and there's nothing that will stop that mission from being fulfilled. Tough times will come, people will turn away from the Lord, but the mission we have will always continue until the end of this age. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 24, then they will hand you over to be persecuted, and they will kill you. You will be hated by all nations because of me. Then many will fall away. They will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Because lawlessness will multiply, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. This good news of the kingdom, listen to this, will be proclaimed in all the world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. The mission we have will come to completion. It will be successful. We can persevere, and we will persevere as we live on mission for our Savior. As Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 tells us, there was a vast multitude from every nation in heaven. All the nations there, every tribe, people, and language, which no one can number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Dear Christian, you have a mission to accomplish. There's a lost world out there that needs your perseverance. A lost world that needs the gospel, and this mission cannot and will not be stopped. And we can involve ourselves in that mission. We can be a part of what God is doing in Thomasville and around the world as we join in on God's mission, and there's nothing that will stop that mission. It will come to completion. Then finally, we can persevere because of a fourth thing that will not be defeated, and that is our future. Look at verses 11 through 13. This saying is trustworthy. For if we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Now, This was probably a familiar saying in the early church, some type of recitation they may have had. Some believe when they were observing baptism in their churches, when they were gathering for worship maybe. But it was a statement that gives assurance and hope that nothing can take away the future that God has promised to his children. That if we endure, the Bible says, we will reign. Jesus said it this way in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. To the one who conquers, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. So as we endure, as we live out our faith and it shows genuine to the very finish line of our lives, then we know we're going to enter into eternity and spend eternity with the Lord. If we endure, we will reign. But as Paul points out here, there are those who will not prove genuine in the end. Their faith will fall apart. Remember the saying from a few weeks ago from Vance Havner. He says in a quirky kind of way, but he says, a faith that fizzles before the finish was faulty at the first. And that's so true, because we ask the question, well, was that person even saved? They received Christ. They said a prayer to receive Christ. They were in church for a season. It seemed they were living for the Lord. Then over time, they just drifted away. And for years, they never came back to faith. What's going on with that person? In many cases, if not most cases, these are folks who never truly embraced the gospel of Jesus Christ and never had life change. And Paul says there are people like that. There are some who are going to walk away from the Lord. And such actions will be to deny the Lord. And it says there, if we're faithless, Jesus will still be faithful. What does that mean? One author said it this way. As faithful as Jesus is to save those who believe in him, he is equally faithful to judge those who do not. To act in any other way would be inconsistent with his holy and unchangeable nature. What Scripture is telling us is that the insincerity of their faith will not be without consequence or overlooked. People may walk away from the Lord, but that's not going to affect the Lord. He is God. He is eternal himself. He is victorious. And it doesn't matter if people walk away. It doesn't change the program and the mission of God. It continues on. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 says this, "But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he draws back, I have no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and are saved." Today, let's be like the folks in the latter part of that passage. That we are those who are not going to draw back. We're not going to be destroyed. We're going to live out our faith and show our faith as sincere and genuine. Today, I want to ask us to commit ourselves to the Lord once again, fresh and anew in this moment. That we will live for Jesus Christ, no matter the cost, no matter the struggle, no matter what comes our way, to commit our lives to the Lord until we draw our final breath here on this earth.